Good afternoon. It's very bizarre saying good afternoon. So used to program to saying good morning, but glad you guys are here for Christmas Eve. Everybody ready? You got all your stuff ready for Christmas? No, yeah. Some of the guys are like, yeah, after this, I'm going to go start my Christmas shopping. But it's okay. It's okay. Hey, we're glad that you guys are here. I mean, nothing says Christmas like 70 degrees and rainy, right? Wow. Okay. Now, real quick, I'm guessing a couple things are true. We're going to kind of keep this, you know, kind of short and sweet and all of that this afternoon. But I'm guessing that you're probably a little distracted. I mean, you got a lot of things you're trying to do before tomorrow. You might still have to go to the grocery store. You might have to pick up a last-minute things. You might have to prepare some food. You might have to wrap gifts. You may have had some trouble getting here today with traffic and stuff. You might have a kid sitting in your lap. So I'm guessing you're probably a little distracted. I'm also guessing that you're probably tired. I mean, I've shared this with some of you before, but there's only one word that could possibly describe what we attempt to do during the first 3 weeks of Christmas season every year, and that's insanity. I mean, we do like 80% of the parties for our entire year are crammed into this three-week period of time. And then we think of all the people that we know, and we go out shopping, and we get in debt, and we buy all these gifts for them. And then we redecorate our homes inside and out for a three-week period of time. Then we bake every cookie we've ever heard of. Consume 3 months' worth of calories in 3 weeks. And then because we got so much extra time on our hands, we think of everybody we've ever met before and send them a card. And then somebody decides, hey, let's let the kids out of school for 2 weeks. So I'm guessing you're a little distracted, and I'm guessing you're a little tired. So before we dive into our topic tonight, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to, fear not, this is not some new age meditation thing. Just everybody just take a deep breath. Okay, one more. Deep breath. Maybe you just say, God, just slow me down. Help me to be right here, right now, in this moment, and just focus on you. And the reason I want to encourage you to do that is because maybe for the next few minutes might be one of the very few times this season that you stop and actually think about what it is that we're celebrating. What is the true meaning of this season? Now, if I were to ask you that, many of you would give the nice little church answer, oh, we're celebrating the birth of a king, and you'd be right. But you know what else we're celebrating? The birth of a revolution. The birth of a revolution, the greatest, longest-running, most successful revolution in the history of the world. See, Jesus didn't come, as too many people today think, he didn't come to set up some nice, quaint, sweet, safe little country club where we could all hang out and feel, you know, good about ourselves. He came to turn the world upside down. He came to radically change lives and eternities. He came to, you know, shake us up out of our self-absorbed, inward-focused, all about me and myself and my wants and my desires, and shake us up and get our focus outward on God and on others. That's what he came to set up. And really what Christmas is all about is each of us connecting with God in a life-transforming way. And Jesus coming that first Christmas provided the opportunity for us to do so. It's about each of us connecting with the God of the Bible who created us, who loves us, who wants to have a relationship with us, who wants to be actively involved in our everyday lives, and then one day when this life is over, wants us to spend eternity in heaven with him. That's what we're celebrating. It isn't about shopping and gifts and trees and lights and a fat man in a red suit. Don't get me wrong. I think all that stuff is fun. But what Christmas is really about is Jesus. Period, exclamation point, end of story. And this revolution that I speak of is all about every human being, because Jesus came that first Christmas, being given the opportunity to experience three life-changing things. Now, you all received bulletins on your way in. You don't have to pull them out necessarily. Make sure you take those home. A lot of great information in there about us and things coming up and so on. There's also some notes in there. And if you're not used to being here at Eagle Point, or this is your first time, you know, I teach a lot of times and you're filling in blanks and writing in the margins and underlining things and so on. But tonight, knowing you might have kids in your laps and so on, I just kind of gave you the notes filled out so you can either just glance at them now or refer back to them later. But the first thing that God wants every single human being to experience is his love and forgiveness. His love and forgiveness. No matter who we are, what we've done in our past, how messed up we've been in our past, how messed up our life might be today, and I'm a living, breathing example of this because many of you know my story. No matter who you are, what you've done, God wants you to experience his love and forgiveness. And we just spent the last month of December doing this series called Forgiven. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a child, a son is given. And we've talked all about forgiveness. And if you missed any of that, please get on our website, eaglepoint.org, and check that out. You can watch and listen. Also, connect with myself and our church on social media. We'd love to connect with you that way, and we share all that stuff on there. But we talked about how Jesus came to offer God's love and forgiveness for all the things that we've done wrong. And let's be honest, we've all done a lot of wrong things. And how he came to reconcile us, to give us that opportunity to have a relationship with God. And the way that it's been set up is that once we have received that love and forgiveness and reconciliation, that God not only expects us, he commands us to share love and forgiveness and reconciliation with other people. And we talked about how to forgive other people who've hurt us and wronged us and let go of the anger and the bitterness and the resentment that so many of us hold on to. We talked about how to get rid of or to forgive ourselves for the things that we've done wrong and the ways that we've hurt other people, and how to kind of shake off that guilt and shame and regret that many times is like an anchor around our necks holding us back. And big picture-wise, what we've been talking about for the last month is how to allow the forgiveness of God to reign in every area of our lives, whether it's ourselves in our past or our relationship with others or our relationship with God. Now, you might still be sitting there wrestling, going, you know, you just don't know. There's no way. I've done too many things. God wouldn't want anything to do with me. Well, guess what? In the Bible, in Romans chapter 8, verse 39, it says, nothing, let me just emphasize that word, nothing in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Again, no matter who you are, what you've done, God wants you to experience his love and forgiveness. Now, how do we know that God loves us? Well, guess what? Christmas proves it. Again, God sent his son to provide a way for us to receive his love and forgiveness, for us to have that personal relationship with him, for us to have him actively involved in our lives and one day spend eternity with him in heaven. In fact, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we can have eternal life through him. This is real love. He sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That's how much God loves us. And the single greatest expression of love in the history of the world was Jesus coming that first Christmas. So God wants each of us to experience his love and forgiveness. The second thing he wants us to experience is his family. He wants us to experience his family. Guess what? God never intended life, the Christian life, whatever, to be done alone. He wants it to be done with others. He wants it, you know, you helping others and others helping you and doing life and everything together. Sorry, I jumped way ahead of myself. But helping others and doing life together. And God's plan for us to be able to do that life together is called the church. The church is God's family, and God wants every single one of us to be a part of that family. And I think that is absolutely essential, not only in every Christian's life, believer, follower of Christ's life, but especially here in this area where so few people are from here. Not a lot of people have family and, you know, support networks and so forth here. It's especially important. We all need a place where we're known, where everybody knows your name. Some of you got that reference, didn't you? But we need that place, and I'm not knocking anything else, but you need a place where you're doing more than coming in on Sunday morning, being a part of the big audience, watching the big show, go out, and you've had no interaction with other believers. You need a place where you can connect with others. And a church family can be there for you to help you and pray for you and encourage you during difficult and struggling times. And I would encourage you that if you don't have a church family, find one. And it doesn't have to be here, but find one. Not every church is for everybody. But again, find one. Now, I'll admit, I'm a little partial. And I think you would do very well to invest the next several weeks into considering checking out this place and considering making this your church home. I don't think one or two visits quite does any place justice. But seriously, check it out, because I think personally this is one of the greatest groups of people I've ever seen God assemble in one place. I mean, I'm sorry, some of you are wondering what this noise is. I still got a little bit of a lingering cough, so I got a cough drop in my mouth right now, so forgive me. But you know what? We're honest, we're open, we're real. You know, we don't put on the fake facade. You know, we don't go, you know, we don't act like we never have any problems and, you know, we always got everything figured out and everything's perfect. And if you've got problems, there's something wrong with you. Because guess what? We all got problems on a daily basis, or don't we? And one of our mottos around here is, you know, I'm messed up, you're messed up, we're all messed up. And it's true, we are. But the cool thing is we're not content with that. We're not okay with that. And because we're a church family, because we're doing life and ministry together, we are helping each other through God's power and God's grace to get a little bit better each and every day. We're on a spiritual journey together trying to figure out this whole life and faith thing. And I invite you to join us in that journey. So God wants us to experience his love and forgiveness. He wants us to experience his family. And the third thing God wants us to experience is his plan and purpose for our lives. Is his plan and purpose for our lives. Now, I don't care who you are, how successful you are, how much stuff you have. At some point, you found yourself thinking, is this really all there is to life? Right? I mean, the house, the career, the cars, the vacations, the stuff, that's all good. But is this really all there is? And the reality is that we've all wrestled with that at different points. And the reason is because when God created you, he hardwired you up for so much more than the house and the career and the cars and the vacations and all that kind of stuff. God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives that brings meaning and purpose and fulfillment and satisfaction into our lives in a way that nothing else possibly can. And a huge part of God's plan for each of our lives, again, going back to what I said at the beginning, to shake us out of our self-absorbed world, a big part of God's plan for each of our lives is helping others. It's trying to make this world a little bit better place. Leave it a little bit better than we found it. It's looking beyond our own selfish ambitions and our self-absorbed little wants and desires and all those kinds of things. It's beginning to open up our eyes and our hearts to the reality that there are people all around us every single day who are hurting and in need. Have you figured that out yet? There's people all around us struggling, all around us hurting. You don't have to go, you know, we do both, local and global, but you don't have to go to third world to find people who are hurting and struggling. I was delivering Christmas gifts this week to families, going off subject, just for the topic for a moment. And man, it was, you know, we keep a lot of those families confidential because of their situations and their kids and all those kinds of things. But man, sitting there with a wounded veteran who an IED took out like half of his body and he's like paralyzed. Sorry, I get choked up. And he's trying to take care of two of his kids. And to be down there helping him, you know, talking to him and providing for his kids and, you know, just crying together and praying together. Sitting with a mom in Cartersville who fled an abusive husband. Just picked up and just ran out the door with her and her kids one day. She couldn't take it anymore. And just sitting there crying and praying with her and giving gifts to her kids. You know what? That's what Christmas is all about. That's what life is all about. And the way God has hardwired us up is you're going to get more of a sense of fulfillment and purpose in your life doing those kind of things than you will ever find in 1,000 years working in your career. That's just the way it works. But again, there's so many needs all around us that many times it can feel overwhelming, insurmountable. Like, what the heck can I do about this? And the reality is you can't do much on your own. But again, when you're a part of God's family and you come together with a church family and you work together and you allow God to lead you and guide you, you can accomplish some pretty amazing things, man. And that's what we're all about here. Loving God, leading people to experience his love and forgiveness. Loving others, leading people to experience God's family and serving the world. leading people to discover God's plan and purpose for their lives. That's what we're about. That's what Christmas is all about. But more importantly, that's what life is supposed to be all about. And I'll just tell you that we get outside of the walls. Many of you know this. Some of you are new faces, I see. You know, but one of our big favorite things is getting outside the walls of the church and feeding the homeless and helping the homeless people and taking care of abused, neglected kids and single moms and senior citizens and, you know, doing all these kinds of things all over our community, working with families that are struggling. You know, again, I brag on you guys all the time because, you know, I got pastor friends all over the country. And you know, I'm bragging on you guys this week to a couple different pastors saying, man, our little mid-sized church here in Ackward, Georgia, provided 180 complete Thanksgiving dinners to struggling families in our community. Turkey sides the whole bit. Then, as if that wasn't enough, they went and helped us provide 100 winter survival kits of all the supplies that are needed, plus jackets and blankets and all this other stuff for homeless people to make it through cold winter nights on the streets. And then they helped us provide all kinds of Christmas gifts for kids at a children's home and for families here locally that are struggling. And that's on top of all the other stuff we do in Haiti and in the Philippines. You know, helping provide health care and schooling and building homes and all kinds of stuff. In parts of the world where the average family is living on less than, think about that, the average family is living on less than $2 a day. And I don't share any of that with you in order to brag about us and pat ourselves on the back. I share that with you in order to invite you and challenge you to join us in this effort and trying to leave this world just a little bit better than we found it. You know, kind of the thing to do at Christmas time is to help other people. The thing to do, right? You know what? That's all well and good. A lot of people need help at Christmas time. But here's what I wrestle with as a Christian, as a pastor, and as a human being. I wrestle with the question, what about the other 11 months of the year? What about the other 11 months of the year? Now, I've been praying a lot recently for our Christmas Eve services and all of you that would be here. God knew who would be here. And my prayer has been not necessarily, God, let it be standing room only and all this kind of stuff, right? You know what my prayer has been? My prayer has been, God, whatever number of people you want to bring, I pray that every single one of us would experience a moment of clarity. A moment of clarity. And what I mean by that is it's just a moment of just transformation and life change where you're just not the same anymore. Where suddenly you're beginning to see things more clearly than you've ever seen them before. And maybe you see God for the first time as he really is, rather than maybe how you thought or how other people have told you and other church environments you grew up in and so on. And you see yourself for who you really are, a child of God, a masterpiece, a person that God wants to use to do some great things for the rest of your time while you're here on this earth. That you see yourself as you really are, rather than maybe you thought about yourself or other people have told you and put you down and so forth over the years. But it's that moment of clarity where you just go, man, I get it. Okay, I get God, I get me, and so on. And you begin to see other people in the world around us as they really are, rather than maybe your preconceived notions or the filters that our society has told us to look at them through. And all of a sudden you begin seeing your past clearly and your present clearly and your future as clearly as we can as human beings. You're like, man, I get it. Or at least I'm beginning to get it. You know, every single one of those people involved in the very first Christmas had a moment of clarity. You think about Joseph. He has this dream. And God speaks to him in this dream. And at the time, man, he's angry. He's confused. He's not understanding anything. Suddenly he has this dream and he's like, oh, okay, I get it. I'm beginning to understand. The wise men had a moment of clarity when they're looking at nature and they see this star in the sky and they're like, okay, that's where we need to go. Mary has a moment of clarity when excuse me, the word of God is spoken to her, and for the first time in the midst of all her confusion and fear and everything else, she's like, okay, I'm beginning to see the big picture of what God is up to here. And even the shepherds had a moment of clarity. When a miracle was performed, and all of a sudden they're like, okay, we need to go over there and check that out. But it's that moment of clarity. And what happened with each of them and what God wants to happen to each of us is what I believe the Apostle Paul was describing in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, where he writes, and hear these words, I pray that your heart will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future that God has called you to share. That your heart will be filled with light, flooded with light, so that you can see something of the future that God has called you to share. That's what God wants for each of us. He wants us to have that moment of clarity. And guess what? Until that happens, your life isn't going to make much sense. You're not going to experience meaning and purpose and fulfillment and satisfaction. It's just not going to happen without it. Again, Jesus taught us, as we say here at Eagle Point, love God, love others, serve the world. It's kind of a summary of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. That's what Christmas is all about. More importantly, that's what our lives are supposed to be all about. Listen, it's Jesus' birthday. It's the anniversary of his revolution, if you will. And I think a really cool present for each of us to give him would be that we would make a commitment that we're going to start living out what we've been talking about starting today through 2016. And beyond. That we're just going to start focusing in on God's love and forgiveness, God's family, and God's plan and purpose for our lives. And that's what God's inviting each of us to experience tonight. So my question is, how are you going to respond? Now, some of you here today, you may have never even taken the very first baby step of stepping across that line of saying yes to God, of receiving his love and forgiveness, of committing to him, if you will. And if that's you, I want to invite you tonight to take that step, to step across that line and just repeat after me a little prayer, just quietly to yourself. And again, just know that this is a little prayer. It's just a guide to help you know what to say. But this prayer is also just a very first step in a lifelong journey of learning to follow Jesus, because I've been doing this for a lot of years and I'm still learning on a daily basis. But there's others of you here today who might be looking at your life, looking at your relationship with God. You know that things are not the way they ought to be. Maybe your life has gotten off track a little bit. You're not tracking in Jesus' direction. You're not living out, you know, his purposes and plan for your life. And maybe you need to pray the same prayer tonight as a recommitment or a re-engaging in that relationship with him. But here's one more thing I'll encourage you on. And that is, I think, honestly, we should all pray this. Because here's what I've learned over the years, or one of the many, many, many things I've learned over the years. Committing your life to Christ is not a one-time deal. It's just not. I personally believe it's a daily choice and a daily commitment. Because it's real easy to get off track. It's real easy to kind of veer off course and start going a little bit the wrong direction. And so, I mean, I've talked to some of you about this idea before, but you know what? I got to choose every day. Sometimes a couple times a day. I say, God, forgive me. God, help me get back on track. God, I'm committing to follow you. I'm not going to listen to this over here. I'm not going to follow that over there. Help me to keep tracking in your direction. I think many times, most of it for us, it's a daily decision. So wherever you happen to be with any of this, let me just invite you to bow your heads a moment and possibly pray something along these lines. Maybe pray, God, I've blown it. I messed up. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've sinned and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I believe that Jesus died for me, so that I could have a personal relationship with you. So that I could have you actively involved in my everyday life. And so that one day when this life is over, I can spend eternity in heaven with you. God, I want that. So today, God, I'm asking you to come into my life, to take control, to call the shots, and to change what needs to be changed in me to help me be the person that you created me to be. And God, I commit today that I want to start experiencing your love and forgiveness every day, experiencing your family, and not only experiencing but living out your plan and purpose for my life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.